Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast, episode 89. My name's Jared. I got Denzel with me, and we're going to get into a little bit of cigar reviews, some cigar talk, and a little bit of everything else. But first, we put some great athletes' jersey in the rafters today in honor of them. It's episode 89.
We got to put somebody up in the rafters today. For 89, episode 89. So we're looking at football players still. Haven't transitioned back to basketball or any other sport that I know of. But looking at a couple of wide receivers. A few of them, actually. 89. So we got Amari Cooper. Played with the Raiders and Dallas. But mainly for me. I had another name. I ain't gonna worry about it. But mainly for me, just to cut to the chase, we some Carolina boys. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of North Carolina in our core, I guess.
Yeah.
So there was a bad boy out there in Carolina, man. It's the Panthers. You know who I'm talking about? You know where I'm going?
Believe I do, but who you got?
Steve Smith, man. That boy Steve Smith, 89. Nasty. He played with Baltimore for a little bit, but we all know him as a beloved Panther.
Yeah, I don't know about beloved, but
you know what I'm saying? The fans, he was beloved by the fans, but hey, he was a dog when it came to other players. So he might not be beloved by other players.
He was a dog. Steve was a dog. He wasn't a big dude either, but he was a dog though.
And that's why I respect his game too. His, like, as a wide receiver, to have his stature, you know what I'm saying? You're going up against guys who are other wide receivers who are 6'3, 6'4, 6'5.
Yeah.
What, Steve Smith, a cool 5'9, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
And he would go up and he would get, he going up to get.
Fearless. Yeah. Straight up.
That's what I'm leaning towards. One, shout out to Carolinas. That. And then shout out to, you know what I'm saying, people who are a little bit height challenged.
There you go. Hey, but check this out. And shout out to somebody that may be a little forgotten too. You know what I'm saying? Whose name may not get brought up all the time. Because we have those players, you know, from yesteryear. Sometimes the new generation, they just going to look at it as a name on the list and say, we done with y'all. So, you know what?
Shout out to Steve. And if I was like, it is crazy. Like if you go into this realm of being a sports player and knowing the contributions that you put forth towards your sport and to think that sometime in the future, even not even the distant future, the near future, you're talking about one generation removed.
Yeah.
All the work you put in for 10, 15, 20 years plus just on a professional level, not even talking about collegiate or high school level, Pop Warner or whatever, rec league. You just forgotten?
Yeah. Ouch. Or dismissed, even worse. Worse than dismissed.
Yeah. Man.
Because some new person was born and took your career out of context and just looked at it on a sheet of paper and said what you were or weren't.
That has to be a hard place to live at, man. To exist in, to know that one day that this blood, sweat, and tears, especially if it don't equate to, even if it does equate to chips, you're still going to get dismissed because we see even a goat is getting dismissed.
Yeah.
But I digress. Man, just want to recognize that for a second.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely, man. So I proudly say today is the Steve Smith episode, 89. But for now, we got to honor some cigars who we will be smoking and reviewing today. Whose name will also go in the rafters.
Yeah. So we'll put them bands in the rafters.
We're going to put them bands up. So with that being said, you have yours narrowed down or should I go first?
I do. I'm good to go. So, okay. You want me to go ahead? I'll go first. I'll go first this time. So last episode, I mentioned Camacho and that's where I'm going today. Going with the Camacho Broadleaf. So here's what I do know about this particular cigar and Camacho overall, right? Because we mentioned Camacho and said, hey, look, I like Camacho. Like Camacho is not a cigar brand that I dislike, but it's not a cigar brand that I necessarily herald as one of my go-tos or top cigar brands, and you know, kind of put them in that novelty realm. But we understand that that's not the case. It's not the case for Camacho. So I want to give them their just due, their just respect in that aspect. So I went back and I did a little bit of research on them, and come to find out that Davidoff in 2008 acquired Camacho.
Oh, okay. So this is the Davidoff brand the entire time,
for the most part. So Camacho still, they still run their own farms, and they harvest their own tobaccos, right? But they're still umbrellaed under Davidoff now, right? So there's still a lot of their own thing, but just an acquisition by Davidoff. So I don't think necessarily Davidoff has taken over their production and made it a Davidoff cigar, but definitely a Davidoff umbrellaed branded cigar. Like they're in that family. They've been acquired into that Davidoff family. So that is something to applaud with Davidoff and Camacho, to say, hey, look, Camacho, they're up there with that. They're teaming up with the big dogs.
Yeah.
They are teaming up with the big dogs. So that's why we're not a novelty cigar brand.
Right. And on top of that, you know, I'm sure that Davidoff is holding them accountable to a certain standard
for their
brand. You know what I mean? It'd be nice if they offered them a few leaves and did nitpicking a recipe just a little bit. Hey, hello, it's fine. You ain't got to interfere with the blend.
Put a little bit of that Davidoff in there real quick.
Just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It'd be nice, but you know, I respect them allowing them to be their own company and develop at their own pace and come up with their own blends and whatnot. So I respect that too.
So with that, also come to find out that this Connecticut, not Connecticut, but this Camacho Broadleaf is a new release, right? So that might have been one reason why it caught my eye when I was in the cigar shop the other week and likened to Camacho, because it's something I haven't seen before. So this Gold Band Camacho Broadleaf was just released September last year.
Okay.
September. So it's fresh on the market. Fresh on the market.
Dope,
so to give you a little bit of space behind it, it's Honduran wrapper. Origins are Honduras. Binder Honduran. Filler Dominican and Honduran.
All right. This should be a very interesting smoke, man. I look forward to seeing where things go. I look forward to it, brother. Now, for me, on the other hand, I have a Joya de Nicaragua, the Cuatro Cinco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is GOAT when he was over in Washington. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to roll with this right here. Let's give a little specs on this. Joya de Nicaragua. I got a Nicaraguan wrapper, Nicaraguan origin, and Nicaraguan binder and filler. So that's what I'm working with today.
All right,
so and it's that beloved box press, you know what I mean? So
ooh.
I'm excited about that.
You know what? I was thinking about box press just last week, right? So I mentioned that Fonseca by My Fathers was probably one of my favorite My Fathers to this point, as of last week, of course. But man, the only thing that would have made that stick better, I was thinking about it when I was finishing up. I was like, if this thing was box press, that would have just taken it off the charts.
Yeah.
Give me a box press. Give me a box press, man.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, I'm going to go with a straight cut on this, bro. I'm going to go with a straight cut on this, and I'm putting matches to it as my flame. Okay. I got caught looking at the back of this right here, because the back of this band has a lovely little look to it. It says Obras Maestras. I don't know what that means. You know what I'm saying? I would,
but it's a nice little touch.
Yeah, I got a little upgrade on my phone here recently where I got a translator. You know what I'm saying? I can just talk to it and live translate. I could do it. It would happen at the snap of a finger, because you know Samsung's better than iPhone. But I'm not gonna do that, because I don't want to offend the iPhone users.
Shout out to Samsung.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that somebody's watching us on the iPhone right now.
Yeah. Strangely enough, man. We got iPhone users to watch us. That's verified.
So I went
that disc was for you, because I know you exist and I want to tease you.
Yeah, so I'm going with a V-cut. Yes. I'm using the cedar. You know, since we got a Davidoff cigar, we gotta treat it right. We gotta treat it right. So we're doing a cedar.
Okay. went from being a novelty to getting the CETA treatment. Boy, look at that, boy. That name recognition, attach yourself to the big bro and you good to go. It's that Bronny James treatment.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, man, that matters. It matters. Who your name is attached to, who you are affiliated with, it can be a good thing for you, or it can be a bad thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
So definitely guard your affiliations. Message.
Message. Boy, that right there. Uh-oh. Boy, that was almost tragic.
Okay.
Man, I went over and I'm sitting here admiring my stick, just making sure everything's properly toasted. And I feel that heat on my hand. And I thought it went out.
Oh, you got close.
Oh, it got close to me. And you know, it was flaming up huge at this point. It was a big old orange flame at this point. It was starting to turn blue. I said,
Yeah. That
your fingers. Make sure your match is actually out before you take your attention and divert it elsewhere.
And was that your first match or you doubled up? I didn't get to see you
toast up. First match. Okay. One match, Shouty is back. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm trying to even up my Camacho. Hey yo, so we mentioned careers getting or sports figures' careers kind of getting rewritten or kind of, you know, falling off or falling out of, you know, I just not looked at in the same light, right?
Yeah.
After all the hard work that they put in and getting properly recognized and properly appreciated for the hard work that you put forth.
Yeah.
So we know LA, they like to put statues outside their, you know, the crypto.com arena.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Bulls, they got Jordan with the Miami. They have a D-Wade statue, don't they?
Yeah, they just recently put up D-Wade.
So Philly, shout out to the great city of Philly. And I love Philly. I love Philly. I love the city of Philadelphia. Been there several times, and the vibe and the spirit of Philadelphia is definitely rich. Great city, and some tough fans. But there's a sports player who played with the 76ers, a historical figure, was just honored with a statue outside a practice facility, and we had his ceremony. Statue revealing. And it looked a little underwhelming, man. It looked a little underwhelming for a guy of his caliber, right? For a guy of his caliber. We're talking about Allen Iverson, AI, the great AI. We know him. We love him. Man put in work. He didn't bring home any chips. And maybe that could be a talking point. But, yeah, man, it didn't look too good to me.
Describe the statue to the people who didn't see it.
All right, so the statue's revealed.
Hey man, where is our production crew? They supposed to have this footage up, man. He's supposed to roll the footage out.
Roll the footage out.
Hey, tell the producers they getting fired if they don't get this stuff together next episode. Let's get it together. Man.
We need the imagery so we can see what we're talking about.
God knows the engineers suck at this show. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me paint the picture. So they have this big ceremony, crowds gathered around, AI is there, and the statue was covered up. And then they go to reveal it. And it's this miniature army man looking statue. Look like one of them little green army men. Yeah. And it only looked like him. But if you was looking from afar, you would think that was Lil Bow Wow from Like Mike.
Man, they did him wrong. They did him wrong with that, man. I saw it looked more like you said, it looked more like Lil Bow Wow statue, like Mike in the movie and stuff like that. Then it looked like actual Allen Iverson, man.
Calvin Cambridge, I think it
was. That's who it looked like. It looked like Calvin Cambridge. Little tiny statue, like you say. That whole army figures, that was a perfect analogy to that, man. they did them wrong. They didn't want to invest in the extra materials to get him a decent statue, man. Iverson ain't that big of a guy. He walked up to the statue and the statue was standing on a platform and he was looking down at his own statue and stuff like that, man. It was terrible, man. Terrible.
Yeah.
And yeah. And yes, he didn't bring the chips home, but what he did do is he was something. If we honest, he's been the franchise player y'all hadn't had since Dr. J and hadn't had since then. No disrespect to Embiid. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
like Iverson is one of a kind, man. He's one of probably three guys that really changed the culture of basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like
of the totality of it, 75 years of basketball culture.
Yeah.
And he's one of three.
Yeah. So how dare you not give him a little more respect, man? You know, go buy some extra bronze and make him a little bigger, man. Make him a decent sized statue.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it would be different if. Right. And also, in all fairness, to put it in context, there are other smaller statues around the practice facility along with his. You know, so the first video I saw was just him and his statue. I was like, yo, that looks crazy. But then there's other videos where it shows other statues and kind of puts it in context to say, OK, yeah, that statue type fits whatever else is around. Right. But even then, the statue was still smaller than the rest. It was still smaller than the rest. Yeah. It was probably the smallest statue out there. But at the same time, this is AI. This is not the other players. Even though there might have been a Dr. J up there or whoever that they honor in that played for the Philadelphia 76ers. But this is Allen Iverson. This is Allen Iverson. Yeah. So if there's going to be any statue reveal, especially off the heels of Kobe Bryant's statue reveal, off the heels of the Dwayne Wade statue reveal and the follow it up with a statue reveal for AI, you have to go big first and then maybe do the smaller one later. Like put the big one at the facility at the main arena and do that statue reveal for him and then go add the other one later. But off the heels of everybody else's statue reveals, you got to do them right.
Is that what it is? Is he getting another one?
I don't know.
Because Kobe's getting like four or three or something like that. Three or four. He's getting like, and that was just one of several. You know, they're going to have that outside, one inside, one somewhere else.
Which is a concern. Like, we don't know. Is he going to get another statue? Honestly, he should. He should get a main statue. And if you're going to do a ceremony, you go big first. You go with the main one and then go with the other ones to you know, we're going to add these to the collection. But to honor you as our franchise guy, when you think of Philadelphia 76ers, one of the first players you're going to think about is between 1996 and 2007, and it's AI. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the guy.
I agree. That is a huge underassessment of what you had at your franchise at one point. You know what I mean? In order for you to do something like that. Like, you really... You recognize what you had enough to do the statue, but you didn't really recognize what you had to really take care of them. You know what I mean? Like, Allen Iverson is somebody that meant a whole lot to a lot of people. And it's hard. It's going to be hard to find more players that were beloved, not just by fans, but also fans from every team on top of that, but also his peers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, even if you go to a Jordan, Jordan wasn't beloved by his peers. You know what I'm saying? He was hated by a good portion of them. Still to this day, he was hated by a good portion of his teammates. But you get Iverson, and everybody loved him. You know what I'm saying? He was Bubba Chuck to everybody in the league.
Yeah, whether you understood him or not, you know, even in the moment as coaches, Larry Brown had his issues with him. But even still, you know, not too far removed from their separation, Larry Brown even still – showed his love and had love and respect and honor for AI, you know, even with them bumping heads as much as they did.
Yeah. And see, I'm not even considering the suits, you know what I'm saying? Cause ultimately the suits don't matter in your legacy as far as what we think of you. They might can affect your legacy, and they had an effect on his legacy by pretty much booting him out the league, but the love was already there for the guy. You know what I'm saying? So But yes, even some of the guys, and when I say suits, I'm including coaches and stuff like that too, not just the guys in the offices. But But the players, the fans, we all love the guy. So I don't know. That's just a real big miscalculation for Philly. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, to do something like that. Now the internet calling you out on it. Deservedly so.
The city of Philly is known for statues. Outside of maybe D.C., what other city do you know is known for monuments and statues? You know, whether it's Ben Franklin or Rocky.
How Rocky get a better statue than AI? Yeah.
Why he's Rocky fictional. Got a better statue than AI?
Fictional. Fictional with character gloves, with a better statue.
You know what I'm saying? With a better statue, bigger statue. People come from far and wide to go take a picture by the Rocky statue. You know? So, honestly, when it comes down to that, whether it's Ben Franklin, Rocky, the love sign in downtown, AI should be the next attraction that you go see. You go see what was the bell? The crack bell, Liberty Bell.
Yeah, Liberty Bell.
The Liberty Bell. You go see Rocky, and you go check out AI statue.
Yeah, I would want to. You know what I'm saying? That's something you will definitely want to make your time to go see, but not the way it's been described to me. But not the way from what I saw in that video, I don't want no parts of that. Wax statue, man. But they always kind of dropped the ball with AI though. You know what I'm saying? Like he was never their darling child. He should have been. You know, Reebok is who took the best care of AI out of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Right. Who actually treated him at his real value, his real worth.
You're right. Absolutely right. And Reebok was smart for that. And honestly, I feel like it's definitely paid dividends for him because we're 20 years removed from the release of that shoe, probably maybe 25 years from the iconic shoe, and that shoe will always be an iconic shoe, like forever.
Right.
And Reebok always see a dividend from that for sure because they did what they honored, they appreciate, and they gave him his value. They showed him his value and keep it. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he still has a piece of that company right now, right?
He is the vice president of their basketball department, with Shaq being the president.
Wow!
If that ain't how you treat your athletes,
absolutely.
Shaq was there first in like what 92, 93. He got with them pretty early on.
Yeah, with the Shaq notes in 96. All of that. Yeah.
That's respect. Reebok deserves respect. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Come on, Philly. Y'all got to do better. Got to do better, Philly.
Philly ain't going to do no better, man. They produce meat. I said it.
No Diddy.
And them weak cheese steaks.
Come on now. Hey, I got... Cheese steaks was on point, man. You can't go to
Cheese Whiz ones. Where'd you go to the actual Geno's and stuff? Or are you talking about outside?
I've been to Geno's. I've been to both of those, but I went to a few other ones, and I feel like they're better at the other spots.
Not the real ones. You got the real ones in the actual, the tourist spot.
Yeah, not the tourist spot. But you got to you have to do it with the Cheese Whiz, or you got to get the Cheese Whiz. Somebody's got to do it right. Somebody got to do it right.
I hate you, man. I hate you. Shout out to Philly. All love.
Yeah, but they got to do better with that statue. I mean, they got to go, like you said, find some more bronze, copper, or whatever you got to find, and get some more metal and put it together. Philly, that is one of your biggest representatives of the last 20, 30 years. You got AI and you got Patti LaBelle, maybe. And Bill Cosby.
You got Bill. You know what I'm saying? You got Bill, baby. Don't forget. Don't y'all deny Bill. You got Bill.
Don't deny Bill. Hey, Bill needs a statue. Come on, Philly. Get Bill a statue, too. He need to be out there with Benjamin Franklin. He need to be right next to the Liberty Bell.
Man, they're going to give Bill a statue the size of Benjamin Button next to Benjamin Franklin. It's going to be a little crappy one. They ain't going to take care of him either, man.
Hey, we got Will Smith. Gotta get Will Smith.
Oh yeah, man. You know, because he came out with his theme music representing where he was from. You know what I'm saying? You got to show some love to Will. What Will statue?
Yeah. What Will statue? He should. I mean, you know what? These spots and these places, these cities, y'all got to do a better job of honoring those people that put on for your city. Like, I mean, especially ones that put the city on their back.
Yeah.
Do these people right. Do these people right, because that's what makes people want to go to these cities and visit these cities and see what these cities are all about. That's why that's why Sylvester Stallone and Rocky got the statue, because people want to go run up the steps. You know what I'm saying? They want to go see the steps.
That was a pop culture moment. You know what I'm saying? And looking for a city like Philly, you got a couple of those. You know what I'm saying? Like, this really, Philly got, they produced a few people that were like really next level in terms of pop culture and celebrity. You know, it seems like you would herald those people, like a Will Smith or a Bill Cosby. You know what I'm saying? Like, those, you know, those are once in a lifetime talents. You don't just get those type of dudes all the time. And they from your city. And they represented it.
They do. Hey, I will say one city that is trying to do it right, Detroit. They doing right,
man,
by Eminem.
He was on man. I don't want to hear that, man.
He was on the other side of 8 Mile. I knew I was going to get under your skin with that.
I already knew where you was going. I couldn't even get my tongue moving fast enough to respond to it as soon as I heard. I know a city that does. I don't want to go to that little house in Motown, man. Like, that's what y'all got, man.
Motown USA, man. Hittsville, USA.
I do want to go by Hittsville. I'm talking junk. I do want to go by Hittsville. That's cap. I want to go by Hittsville. But I don't want to go by 8 Mile, though. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, man. But yeah, the cities, y'all got to do better by your icons, man. Those who are icons for your cities, they're putting on for your city. These industries, whether you're the NBA or you're the music industry, movie industry, whatever kind of cultural industry, and they're bringing attention to your city and making people want to go visit your city, spend money in your city. Gotta do right. I'm telling you, that could be a draw. That could be a spot for people to go see the AI statue. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then you put one of the throwback jerseys on there. People gonna want to take pictures by it. They're gonna hit Michelin Ness, go get them a jersey, go get a cheesesteak, and then stop by the AI statue.
I just think ain't nobody wanna take no pictures with this statue as is, though.
Nah, this side. They're gonna be leaning on it.
Everybody gonna be leaning on it. Like
elbow in the head. Yo, this AI right here. Check it.
Right, man. Oh, them pictures are gonna be disrespectful when it hit the web, man. That's crazy. But shoot, man, let's get into this halfway review, man, of these cigars, man. These cigars.
Hey, man, Camacho, man. Hey, the spice is nice. The spice is just right. Man, I thought the spice was gonna go away at first, but it's hanging in there. It's hanging in there. Just a touch, and it's just right. So whatever kind of Honduran tobacco we got going on here, shout out to Honduras. Shout out to the spice in Honduras. We got some coffee notes in there, a little bit of sweet, like a subtle sweet that's like really tapping up against that spice that's just going right. The aroma's nice. Camacho, you got one here so far. So far, so good.
Okay. Hey, this right here, this Cuatro Cinco by Hoya de Nicaragua. Last week, if you didn't tune in, I had an Isla del Sol last week. And if this experience today couldn't be more of a 180, you know, if Isla del Sol's on this side of the spectrum, this Cuatro, this 45 is on this other side right now of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it is a very, very full body cigar. Ooh, strong. Okay. Very strong. Very strong.
Okay.
The spice is spicy. A little peppery, I would say, as far as the spice goes, if I want to be specific about it. And a lot of woody notes and some coffee notes is what I'm picking up on so far. But this particular stick, man, this one going to wake you up. You know what I'm saying? This is the type of stick, put a little hair on your chest. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So
it's not for the morning. It's for one of them evenings. You might have a glass of tequila or something, some bourbon.
Yeah. You want to smoke this, you know what I'm saying? When you on the go, party cigar. Take this on the take this on the yacht party, but not because of the smoothness of it, but take it because I'm about to be lit on the boat. You know what I'm saying? That type feel.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Okay. Hoya. You know what I'm saying? Hoya got some ones every now and then. Hoya get you. They'll get you a nice one. So
yeah,
I roll with it. Hey man, before we move on, we were talking about a really cool topic. I kind of want to revisit right before we hit the record button on this episode. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about hip hop. We know we love our hip hop era. Talking about some of them songs that just made you want it, like that just kind of like, yo, ooh, what's that? You mentioned Method Man, Bring the Pain.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Hit 'Em High joint. We talking about Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
And just how that whole moment was Elevators, Outkast, made people want to try to remember rhymes and beat on the table, put your hands where my eyes can see, and just beat on the lunch table. It was that's a cool moment for hip hop. And hip hop, I felt like, was in the right direction. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? It just the vibe of the mystique of it was different. The mystique of it was different. And this morning I was watching some of these hip hop artists up today, and here I come sounding old, man. That mystique is gone, man. That mystique is gone. I don't see where there are, like, what makes somebody clamor to, like, what beats are people beating on the table in the lunchroom in 2024? I gotta ask my son. Mm-hmm. My son's in high school, and I want to know, what are people beating on their tables to? What songs now? Not old songs. Not saying they beating the old Timberland joint, you know what I'm saying, from 1996 or whatever. Yeah. What are they beating on the tables nowadays?
I don't know. Hard to beat them triplets in there, man. Some of that stuff is hard timing to keep up with.
Man, things are offbeat. The beat, like it's all like they're all about this whole little, like, the song vibe, like the lyrics don't matter as much, right? You want to say, like, a couple quotable things that just stand out. You might have a bunch of nothing, and then you got two lines that, ooh, that says something to me, and that was a bar. They try sneaking a bar every now and then. A whole bunch of nothing, then a bar. Ooh, he says something, and then the beats don't bang like they used to.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is that makes a moment on social media. That's the moment everybody do their videos to, that one moment that you pointed out. And if you listen to the actual song, you'd be like, ooh, that song really took a turn for the worse after that moment. Or before building up to that moment, how did you even listen to it long enough to discover that moment existed? Because it was really bad up until that moment.
You know,
and then
what?
It got good and went bad.
That's exactly what songs are now. Like, that's how I hear them. Like, they do a song to find a moment. Like, they'll create a song, and as long as they put a moment in there, the whole song could be trash, everything else could be terrible or mid or whatever you want to call it, but as long as they find that one spot, that one sweet spot that catches somebody, and that's what they anchor their whole careers off of.
Yeah.
what can I get there? So this is the new hook. That's the new hook. The hooks ain't the hook no more. Them little moments that they can put to a TikTok video, that's the hook now. That's the hook.
Straight up. That's the hook now. And a lot of times you can't even find the hook anyway, because I tell you, I don't know if you notice this about the songs, but they will go, the verse will be really short. So let's say the verse is 8 bars instead of, they used to be 16 in our day. They'll be 8. Then they'll do like a pre-chorus or something like that. Then they'll go into the hook. All of this will sound like just one long verse until you hear the pre-chorus come back again after 8 bars. And then you realize, oh, that was a verse that just zoomed by again. It seemed like just one long continuous song. Like,
yeah, because that used to be what our vent was, or our bridge was. Like, their bridges are their verses. Yeah. And their vamps are their hooks. And then it's like, that's... Right. Song structure is definitely gotten weird for me now. Like, I've been trying my best to study it, because I want to find that fine line between, like, the new and the old or whatever, and kind of find a way to bring it together. Got to stay relevant in a sense when it comes to how you approach music. But man, it's a wild world.
It's weird because they don't know what they're doing. And let's just say it, they don't know what they're doing, but they're teaching one another how to go about it. You know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but they just not studied on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like I'm hating because I say they don't know what they're doing, but they just haven't learned. You know what I'm saying? They're making it up as they go, and they're creating this whole new wave. But at the same time, it's not correct. You know what I'm saying? By the book, it's not by the book correct. We talk about it with basketball. The kids haven't been taught how to play the game, so they're doing it, and it's fine, but it's not what you would consider high IQ basketball when you watch it. And it's the same with the song structures and stuff. They're not going to school for this stuff. They're going on YouTube and following somebody that figured out what they figured out, and they're teaching them.
They figured out how to get a million views, so I'm going to emulate them because they got a million views. It's going to get me a million views, and it just becomes a whole emulation process.
Yes, emulation. Mm-hmm. Versus in the past, we were emulating people who were studied on stuff like that. So, you know, gospel music emulated jazz and mm-hmm. hip and R&B emulated gospel music because most of the R&B singers were right out of church, and then hip hop emulated the R&B. So it's all coming from jazz essentially, which is this high level music that's very difficult for the average person to even wrap their mind around doing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Versus now, it's evolved into, it's just slowly getting watered down each time somebody else.
And the fact that you have access to do it without even having to be vetted, right? In order to get into a studio to create music, you had to go through a process of being vetted as a musician or a writer or a singer to even get invited into a studio to even create something.
Great point. You couldn't be not know what you're doing to end up in a studio. You weren't going to get studio time like that. So it was a process. Now you got your own home studio. You got anybody will let you in the studio if you got money. You know what I'm saying? It's no vetting. It's no making sure that you actually deserve to be here. You're not wasting my time in here today. Ain't none of that. They'll sit there and let you waste their time. Give me my money. Get out. Your record.
You know what? I mean, I believe I was that guy too. Hey, you gonna pay me for studio time? I don't care if you suck. All right, let's go. You wanna make the song? I'll make. Hey, you want a beat? I got a beat for you. I got some studio time for you. You going? All right, you got the cash though. All right, okay, we cool.
Mm-hmm. You to blame for this?
I feel like I was at the genesis of that whole thing, because as far as I know, it wasn't too many people back in 20 years ago who had home studios. I had the capabilities early on.
You were early in the game.
I was letting people in that shouldn't have been in my studio.
Yeah, you sure were. You sure were. I'd name drop if I didn't think they might not see this. Shoot.
I almost said a couple names, but I ain't gonna do it.
Oh man.
Somebody gonna get mad at me anyway. But man, I just want to be, a fly on the wall in these high school lunchrooms, because you brought me back to a place of nostalgia. And it's just like, man, I remember them. Lunchrooms used to be on, man. We used to be on in the lunchrooms. Yeah. You're talking about beating on the tables, and, you know, I would come in with a couple verses and somebody else would drop a couple verses that they wrote at home. We used to go home and try to write these verses because next lunchroom is popping. I got to be ready to go.
Wanted to know the verses. You wanted to be able to have the hot drum patterns on the tables, banging on the tables, and the dudes that knew how to freestyle, they were getting there and they would battle. Lunchroom used to be lit like that, you know. Say my name in the middle of the freestyle. You know what I'm saying? It was all that kind of stuff. Put me in your bar. Boom, and they just add you in and keep going. Like it was a different time frame, man. Like
how are lunchrooms now, 2024? I gotta ask my son. I gotta have this
conversation. Everybody on their phone. You know what it is?
I'm
eating Takis,
eating pajama
bottoms,
pajama bottoms, and hoodies.
Yeah, and hoodies. That's what it's like. I know where I'm going.
But we went from that to what
we've reached today, where even people who actually know the culture, they steer away from the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Steering away from the culture. So this brings us to our next topic. I'm glad you said that, because it's a perfect segue into this whole rap beef thing, man. Like, culture's not the same. What are we doing with the culture? And the guys who are at the steering wheel steering the ship. Where are you steering us? I get it. You got a conscience. I get it. You got friends, homeboys. And it might not be your necessary personality, but this is the industry you're in. This is the game you're playing. This is who you're suiting up for. Job got to get done. And we're relying on the big dogs and the culture to make sure the culture goes the way it needs to go. And needless to say, man, I am so disappointed to get part two of this whole rap beef isn't the same conversation we had from the last episode because of one situation, the J. Cole apology.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I want to see where this thing goes. And I reserved a few of my comments last episode because I wasn't sure where this was going to go. Like, okay, maybe we're just ramping up. We're setting stage for something monumental, even though it was underwhelming then. But maybe we're setting the stage up for something monumental. But then the air got taken out completely with this whole J. Cole apologizing to Kendrick Lamar.
Bro, we recorded the episode, posted the episode, recorded the episode, scheduled the episode, and before it could be released, he had apologized. Apologize. Killed all our talking points right off the bat. And this is the thing. From what I've gathered, I've been hearing that he had been taking shots anyway. So Kendrick really didn't come out of nowhere with this. That apparently he had kind of said some stuff that led to Kendrick saying what he said. You know what I mean? But it was still all under the umbrella of hip hop. It wasn't nothing personal. You know what I mean? It was still just competing. And it would be no different than two athletes competing in the big game, the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? It'd be the equivalent of the Super Bowl. Because ultimately, if we're rapping, all we can do is put our songs up against each other in a more direct fashion, the same way that you would go in an actual game event. We go head up and see who wins. So, you know, I think Cole overthought it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Maybe part of it was due to the reaction that his music actually received once he put it out there. You know, but I think he overthought it, man. I think he overthought it. It's ultimately what it came down to. I get, as an older male, I get stuff not sitting well in your conscience. You're like, all right, man, I probably shouldn't have did that. I don't like how people are responding to that, you know, and I ain't even trying to be involved in that energy. I understand it. I don't want beef no more at this age. I don't want to have another fight a day in my life. Hopefully I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So I get it. But this is, you know the essence of it. And these are two guys that are smart enough where it would never have to go to that. You know what I'm saying? I think it's understood.
But go ahead, continue.
Cole had a lot of gun talk in there too. He shouldn't have been doing that. If that's what made you uncomfortable, you should have just kept it. It didn't have to go to the pistol talk.
Yeah. And even if you did, like, okay, you could just say, I'm using this as metaphors. This is metaphorically speaking. If that's what his whole problem might have been, and you made a good point that I didn't even think about. Maybe the apologizing could have came from the reaction of the lackluster response from J. Cole from a large part. Not saying everybody felt that way, but a large part of the community, like, okay, that's a lackluster response. We ain't feeling it, Cole. And instead of stepping it up, all right, well, I'm going to drop another one, go even harder. You do the opposite and go all the way back. You completely retract. So that kind of saves you from having to either step up the game or step up the attack or the offense or whatever, however you want to put his position at or angle him at. It's like, okay, well, instead of me having to go a little harder because they said it wasn't as good as it should have been, let me take the full 180 and take my name all the way out the hat. I have nothing to do with it. It kind of absolves you of the lackluster diss that we talked about. But
yeah, it does do that for him. And this is the other thing. Maybe that's as hard as he had on some battle stuff. Because if you actually, the bars is kind of typical of Cole. But what was lackluster was the energy and the aggression that you were supposed to deliver those with. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's all he has right now at the age of maybe what, 38? 39, however old he is.
39. It's maybe as far as writing. He said, hey, man, that's about as good as I'm going to write it. But yeah. Sometimes it's your delivery.
They weren't feeling that. So guess what? I'm a back out. I gave them my best. I gave all I had, and they said that was lackluster. Well, guess what? I ain't got it. So instead of them pushing me off to the side because I don't got enough, I ain't got no more ammo in the tank or in the clip. So let me just bow out and apologize. I hate this. That's as hard as
I'm willing to go, and that's what I got. I'm out, y'all. That's what I think. Possible.
But then that's why I say rap beef isn't the same. It isn't the same. Because whether you like it or not, at whatever age you are, if you got to compete, you got to compete. Because unless you retire and you out the game, you got to stay sharp and ready to go. I mean, Ghostface was older in age when he went at Action Bronson. When that whole thing went down, he was in his 40s.
But see, that's unfair though. Ghostface is a really aggressive dude in real life. So
true. All right. Okay.
That's unfair to Cole, man.
Unfair. But I'm talking about caliber of rap skills.
You know what I'm saying? Kendrick ain't that much younger than Cole. If we being honest, what is he? Maybe a year younger, something like that.
They're in the same age bracket. But I mean, here's the thing: like it's like, are you playing basketball and you on this basketball court because you just want to have fun with it? But when I ask you to compete and we're in the finals, the way I look at it is this is not an all-star game like we kind of liken it to. Then you say, oh, is this 2024 all-star game? No, this is the NBA finals is what I'm looking at it. Or this is the Super Bowl. And I get it. You 38. But guess what? If LeBron goes to the NBA finals, I'm expecting to see LeBron perform. I'm expecting to see LeBron go at people's neck. I get you, 39, your legs tired. You got a lot of miles on your legs, but you're supposed to be the best of the best on the highest stage, on the biggest stage. Lights are on. Attention's on.
Ain't time for load management.
No, we got to go. Yeah. So get out. Hey, get out the sport then. If you ain't trying to win it for the championship, go ahead and retire. Go play in the gentleman's league then. Go play in the retirement's league. Go play rec ball. You know what I'm saying? If this ain't you, but I get it. It's music, and music is a little different from sports. But at the same time, when you're considered the best of your era, the best of the best of the moment now, you got it. Because you're still in it. You're still wearing the jersey. You're still wearing the hip-hop jersey. So we still want it. We still want to see you. We still want to see that competitive nature. Once LeBron retires, he takes off that Lakers jersey and he's just walking around with a suit and doing interviews. Okay. But when Kobe was still playing, we wanted to see Kobe go at people.
Yeah. You know what I think is disappointing with the whole Cole situation is the fact that lately he's been going around pounding on his chest. Like he's been wanting smoke with somebody. He's been talking again. Always caught you,
and it got me on my hand this time,
and
too.
Your white shirt. But look, check it out. So, Cole's been kind of pounding on his chest around here lately. He's been feeling himself, like, you know what I'm saying? He's feeling like the king around here, like, you know, he's been saying, I'm the best. Can't nobody mess with me right now. So, it made us all feel like, oh, he in his stride, like, you know, if it came to that, he's gonna be with that. But once again, I'm not looking for the battle to turn into this. How y'all threatening to shoot each other? I want to hear y'all bar up and be clever. You know what I'm saying? So that's all they really needed to do. Like, it didn't have to be this thing where y'all were, you felt like the energy was getting too negative. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't about being negative. You a smart dude. I want to hear you outthink him in the ring. You know what I'm saying? When y'all go, not how violent you can be towards him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say he overthought it. First of all, he had been setting himself up to be prepared for this moment by the way he'd been talking, and then when the moment came, he curled out in dog terms. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm not willing to go as far as some people where they're saying it ain't no big three no more. Take him out the conversation. I think
he's still nice. Yeah, he's still one of the best of the best. But it's just a whole. Yeah. We talk about culture. We talk about how the approach to the game is when it comes to that's part of the culture. It's part of hip hop. It is.
Yeah.
You know, So it's just a part of the game. And then you made a good point too, that he's been going around pounding his chest. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm one of the big three. I'm one of the big three. But then when you have to play the game as if you're one of the big three, you got to participate. You got to put up. You got to put up. Because if you're sitting back humble, Eminem, he's not talking as much, right? So if Eminem was still out here pounding his chest and then somebody come at Eminem, guess what? I want to see Eminem respond. But if somebody come at Eminem right now, okay, he might not respond or he might come out with something and then backtrack, but we're not expecting it from Eminem right now in 2024 because he's not going around pounding his chest like he's the best. But once you're putting yourself out there, prepare for the onslaught. Prepare for somebody to try to knock you off the top.
Yeah.
For somebody to try to make some separation, if you're saying, hey, these are the big three, and somebody's like, nah, it's just me, I'm gonna make some separation between me and you. But you're saying that, hey, we the big three, I need you to show,
and
hey,
I'm Ali.
No, bring yourself back.
We the big three, and I'm Ali. Come on, bro. you looking for you looking? That's I'm the best, I'm the goat. That's what you said. Like,
you said that, you said that, you know what I'm saying? So, that's I'm glad you made that point too. Because that takes everything out the equation. You put yourself there to say, hey, look, I'm ready for smoke. Because I'm putting myself here and I'm giving myself this title in this position of this Mount Rushmore, of this big three. I'm this guy. This is my place and my stature amongst the best of the best.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready. You got to be ready to defend that title. You got to be ready to defend it.
And he don't get the whole backpack cop out either. Because for me, we can go through the history of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? We can start where we're at now and work our way back. I mean, if you look at a Drake ain't really a gangster rapper. I don't care how crazy he's been talking these most recent years. His essence is not a gangster rapper. But he competed when he needed to compete. Not competed yet, which I expect a response out of him, but I don't expect it anytime soon. You know, but...
No,
but he competed when he needed to compete. Then you can even go back to everybody makes the Nas comparison, and Nas is a little more of a street poet. You know what I'm saying? Nas is not backpack like Cole, so that's even the Nas is a little unfair because Nas will talk about busting his gun and all that other stuff. But Nas competed. But a more fair comparison would be Common Sense.
I was gonna say Common, Black Thought.
He knuckled up, Black Thought, and LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? LL was the love song guy. And when he had to knuckle up, he knuckled up and came out victorious. So these are all guys who
Common Sense wearing a crochet, hat. But when people took shots at Common, guess what? Common was ready, like you said, to knuckle up. I'm sparring back. Let's go. I got these bars ready. Black Thought saying when he ready to go, hey, I got it. But Talib Kweli. All the people in
Eminem, even Eminem. Eminem's not no gangster rapper, but he's far up in a second. Like,
yeah. So that's no cop out. Here we go again. Here we go again. This brings us every time. We never even made a point. Even every time we try to find a way to get Cole out of it, you can't get out of it. You can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Not if you want the title. Not if you want to put yourself in that conversation. Not if you want to give yourself a label. No, there's no way out of it. There's no way.
Yeah. I get where he was trying to go, but I don't think he had to go there. I don't think he had. I think it's an excuse. It feels like an excuse. I hate to dismiss this guy's feelings as an excuse, but he didn't have to come out. I'm gonna just say that he didn't have to come out. He felt how he felt, and he's entitled to come out if he feels the need to. But you know, I understand why we all upset with why the general public is upset with him because he didn't need to. He should have just.
Yeah, you made a point. Crown. Like at a certain age, you want to get away from beef, and like we had people that we didn't get along with, or we had beef with in our teens and early 20s and stuff like that. But then as we get older, we want more peace. We value our peace more. And I get all of that. But guess what? You're still in the game. You're still wearing a jersey. Stop pounding your chest. Don't pound your chest no more. Just make your music and just have fun and enjoy life. Just make your music. Don't pound your chest no more. you negate all of that when you pound your chest.
Yeah. I agree with that.
The title and you're holding the belt, you got to be prepared for somebody to come at you to want to take that belt.
Yeah. That's the ultimate point. That's the ultimate takeaway from it all. Cole, you still are who you are. You still, whether the everybody want to go on their little, it's only two now. It ain't no more big three. Everybody want to end the big three. The big three still exists. Cole's still that guy. He still put out a great album that just got overshadowed by, you know, this controversy. Year. But ultimately, moving forward, stop pounding your chest. Don't let this kill your confidence is who you are, but you got to express it in other ways, man. You don't get to pound your chest for a while, man, because you ain't going to defend it if somebody come by. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Instead of being the gorilla out there pounding your chest, just peacock. You get peacock. The peacock now. You just put your little feathers up, walk around and look cute, but you don't get to actually, no Diddy, you don't get to actually beat on your chest like you one of the apes and the gorillas out there ready for something.
Simple as that. That's the answer, man. Simple as that. Yeah, man. So I'm starting to feel like we're done with the 90s, man. Starting to feel like it. Might have a valid point. Man, things just ain't the same. But anyway, man.
No, they done. Yeah, we done with it. The 90s, we ain't getting it back. They making sure that
they're making sure
they ain't got none of the characteristics of the 90s.
Even our peer group, even those at our peer group.
Yeah,
who got enough cloth from the night? Cole, you got it. Never mind. Anyway, I'm going for another 30 minutes talking about this. Anyway, let's get to these reviews, man. Let's talk about these cigars, man.
Okay. I'll kick it off, man. This Hoya de Nicaragua. Cuatro Cinco. I just noticed the A up here is a four, and the five in the Cinco, the C is a five, but it's reversed. You'll never see it because my camera won't focus, but cool little lining on the banner here. Now, with that being said, this particular stick is a very, very strong cigar. I'll say that. Well, let me not say very, very. It's smoothed out a little bit, but in the beginning, it hits you where it does feel like the profile on this stick is a stronger one, and it is. But it is very smooth in the process, very smooth. You do get a creamy smoke. There's some woodiness within this cigar. There is definitely spice throughout. You get some coffee notes, and you get some nutty notes on this cigar also. I feel like probably some form of chocolate within this also. I would also say on this particular cigar, a little bit of earthiness mm-hmm. on this stick. Overall, it's been a nice little blend. Nice change of pace for me coming off of my super sweet cigar last week. I enjoyed this stick a lot. I am going to end up saying good construction and good draw on it. I will go with a 3.9. 1 to 5, mm-hmm. 3.9.
Okay, right under four. That's heavy. Yeah. That's heavy. Oh, yeah. That's mm-hmm. right under four. I like it. I like it. That's a really strong score, really strong round place to put it in. That's good company. Really, some really good company. So, shout out to Hoya. I like him. I like him.
Yeah. All
right. So, Camacho, man. Camacho, man. Broadleaf. I would say this is a more complex cigar than I had expected initially. And it makes sense. It makes sense when I did the background of why this was released or when it was released and the whole background of the Davidoff. And I tried not to let the Davidoff. I wanted to make sure I focus on the Camacho cigar itself and not think about the Davidoff umbrella to think that they will have anything to do with other than just the acquisition of the company and making sure they're held to a standard. And with that said, I'm going to say construction-wise, cigar was it's holding together really, really nice. It's a really tight, compacted cigar. Have you ever had cigars that just felt they were too loosely wrapped? They weren't wrapped with that type of quality, I guess. That quality that binds everything together firmly.
Yeah.
This is definitely giving me. It's giving me that nice firm construction. So I can say that it was constructed very well. So I'm going to give the nod to Camacho more so than Davidoff. I'm going to say, Camacho, you did a really good job with that. But the complexities is something that did take me by surprise. So in the very beginning, some good, strong, peppery spice that was there that was really, really nice, not overdone, not underwhelming in any sense. It was just right. just the right amount of spice, a nice little leather undertone, some cocoa, some sweetness that popped out, a good earthy oak taste. It has a lot going on going into this right in the smack dab of this middle of the second third. A lot going on. I will say that leather picked up a lot in the second third. So the leather came through, started peeking through in that tail end of that first third, and it's really going in the second third. But it's a nice combination with that spice that was already there. Like I said, a little hint of sweetness that marries with that spice very well. I would just say it feels like a tough cigar, a strong cigar, but also at the same time has a sense of elegance to it. And I think it's that oiliness that's on the wrapper, the complexities that it kind of mixed with. The EQ is the only thing I have a problem with, because I am I'm a lover of Plasencia. And I get it. Not every cigar is gonna have that that EQ in as well, especially when it comes to something that is as complex as this cigar is seeming to be. But overall, very well done. Very well done cigar. So with that said, Camacho, I'm gonna put the cigar on the fours. I think I want to give it a solid four. Ooh, do I want to give it over 4.0? No, I'm not gonna give it over 4.0. I'm gonna give it right at a 4.0. I'm gonna say a four. A solid four. Solid four, because the cigar was
not bad.
Yeah, solid four. I definitely want to say it's in that next tier up with this broadleaf.
Okay. Hey man, shout out to Camacho, man, hitting the coveted four spot. You know, that means it is one of the special ones. You know what I mean? So definitely check that out, man. Y'all check that out, Camacho. Hey, we thought it was a novelty stick, man. Look at that, Camacho showing out.
And I want to reiterate before we get out of here that I'm not being biased off the Davidoff umbrella. This is just purely looking at Camacho and what this cigar did today, right now. Hats off.
Dope. All right, y'all. Well, you heard it here. This is the Steve Smith episode 89. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out. Keep your cigars up high and respond to